All right, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Stack the Pads. This is our first ever episode from home here, so if the audio levels are a little funky, that's the reason why. Today we are joined by another special guest. John Hanna is not here; he's in class right now. But today we welcome in a player who has emerged as a top six forward for RMU women's ice hockey. After transferring from the University of Wisconsin, she tallied 6 goals in 18 games. This includes a heroic game-winning goal against Colgate in the Battle of the Berg, which we'll get to later. So far, in her first full season as a Colonial, she's got a goal and an assist in 2 games. She's playing on the left side along with Joelle Fiala and Mara Wagner. Please welcome in redshirt junior Kylie Hanslick.
Hi.
Well, how are you doing overall? We finally got hockey back, and I guess just what are your thoughts on the season so far?
Yeah, I'm doing good, and thanks for having me too. This weekend's going to be our first travel weekend, so that's pretty exciting. And then we'll have 2 games against the same team, Lindenwood in Missouri, and then we will break out for our winter break and go home for a little bit.
Correct. Yeah, again, since our last episode, both men's and women's hockey have officially started their seasons. Men started the 21st and women's December 3rd. Men's ice hockey is currently 5-2 and women's is 2-0. So how much of talking with other players, they seem to all agree that they just wanted to get the season back and, have the ability to play. They weren't, so to say, focused on things such as, fans in attendance. Now that games are actually back, what is the atmosphere like in the rink?
Honestly, I've never necessarily been one to focus just in terms of the game atmosphere and what's going on the ice. I guess the big difference would be the whole masks, all the masks that we have to wear, and they changed up a couple of just to make the game go a little bit faster.
Well, let's talk about the schedule overall. You guys play Lindenwood 4 times within the span of 2 weeks. Then you have like you mentioned, a long hiatus over winter break. After your Lindenwood series ends, you'll be off from December 11th until January 15th. What are your thoughts on that? Having a big gap in the middle of the season like that.
Just because our team did have to quarantine recently and then get back into game shape. So I think it'll probably be fairly similar to that. We'll get back in around the 28th, I think. So we'll have about like a week or so to prepare for the next couple weekends coming up after that. I think it'll be good as long as everybody keeps up with conditioning and things like that while we're at home.
Yeah, speaking of conditioning, has this been like one of the most hardest years to be able to, get on the ice and condition? And how much of an impact does that have for your overall skill set?
I would say it is frustrating because of how much it fluctuates. So for things you can't control, when we had to go home, we didn't have access to rinks or anything like that. Probably a lot of us got out of shape a little bit there. Then things started opening up again, like gyms and such. Kind of could move back into it. Came back here, had to quarantine a little bit, I think some of us, and figure things out with that, and then got back into shape again. And then we had COVID cases, so we had to quarantine again, and now we're on our way back, and now we go home. So it's definitely very up and down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think for skill set, I think it just probably depends on the person. I mean, when you don't get the chance to skate for a long period of time, I would say it takes a little bit up again, but once you get back into it, I would say everything kind of naturally comes back for people.
Has this been the longest gap that you've had in terms of your hockey career and being able to skate?
Similar. I had one back in high school when I tore my labrum,
Okay.
so I've kind of experienced a long time off of hockey before.
All right, well, let's get to the game recaps real quick. December 3rd and December 4th, women's hockey sweeps over Lindenwood. Reagan Kirk got the start in the first game. It was a 4-2 win. The game went into the final 3 minutes tied until Ellie Markovsky got her first collegiate goal, and then Wason Rice added one later. What have you seen from the freshmen so far on this team?
I think they're doing a really good job of fitting in and learning the ropes of everything that goes on with our team. I can kind of relate to what they're going through, except that it has to do with COVID as well this year. So it's a little bit different, but I think they're hanging on and they're doing really well with what they have to deal with.
Yeah, Markovsky's game-winning goal came on the power play. What adjustments has the power play had to make since, JC's not there anymore?
I think since it's so early in the season, the coaches are just kind of shifting things one way or another to really just figure out what's going to work the best for our team and what we have on the roster.
Emily Harley and Emily Curlett, they showed that they're not slowing down any time soon, especially from last season. Curlett had a goal and 8 shots in the first game. What is it like having such a dynamic offensive defenseman to work with? Not just Curlett, for example, like any players that you've played with, that stand out defensively.
Yeah, that's always a super awesome asset to have on a team, especially just knowing, like, if you pass the puck up to her and she's going to get a great shot off and a good opportunity. The offensive players can kind of be on the net. Try and scrape up a nice one close to the net. So I think that's always a great key to have on a team.
Has it ever gone wrong, per se, in the past, like not just with Curlett, but with any D that you've played with, that they kind of pinch a little too much and then you've had to cover for them and just didn't work out, kind of like a PK Subban type scenario?
I think it probably just depends on the situation. I mean, everybody sometimes can get caught. Once you're here and there, and you just kind of learn off of it. So I wouldn't say that there's ever really been a repetitive problem from it.
Yeah. Moving on to the second game, new goaltending matchup in this one. Julia McGuire starts for Lindenwood, and Ariel DeSmet goes in and pitches a shutout with 21 saves overall, her third career shutout. How much of a confidence boost is it to have such great goaltenders?
Yeah, that's always awesome. I think that's something so great in the back end. Definitely gives you a confidence boost just when you're in the D zone and maybe you have a breakdown or something. You can really rely on who's in the back of the net.
Lexi Templeman scored her first goal of the year. She now has 98 career points, just too shy of that 100-point mark. Angelica Diffendahl and yourself got 2 second-period goals, or got a second-period goal each, and then Boyle added a power play goal on that one. Now, I obviously wasn't at this game and wasn't able to attend, but looking at the box score, there were a lot of unassisted goals in this series. Templeman's goal was unassisted. So was Diffendahl's. Curlett's was unassisted. Hannah Alt's was unassisted. What was the cause of these? Were there bad turnovers? Was there sloppy defense, lucky bounces? What was the cause?
I think watching them over again, offensive play on both of them. I know Jill's, it was off the face-off. She stole the puck off the other team's defenseman and went in and shot it, and Lexi was able to kind of curl off the wall and walk in and shoot. So they're really awesome plays by those individuals.
Overall, a clean sweep on the first week of play. All of RMU's main scorers got on the board for the first time, and the team shows no signs of rust. How nice was it to not only be able to get back into play, but also to put up a strong performance like you guys did? Like I mentioned, all the big names got their first point of the series. Both goaltenders were able to play, things like that.
Yeah, it was super great. Just kind of getting back into the swing of things, and then it was hard to tell where we would maybe be at just after having to quarantine, but I think we got a great split to the season, and I'm really excited to see what else we're going to be able to produce this year.
So up next, you guys play Lindenwood again, but it is on the road. So the CHA is trying to reduce travel with having like back-to-back series, especially with Lindenwood, given the fact that they're kind of the outlier in the CHA. What do you make out of the Lindenwood series overall? They've kind of been, at the bottom of the CHA standings in the past few years, but they seem like they were able to put up a fight in these two games.
Yeah, I would say Lindenwood has definitely shown some huge improvements, especially over the last few years. I think that they're definitely a competitive team, and they're scrappy and they're really fun fun and hard to play against. So I think it turns out to be a really good game each time.
Also, what was it like playing on a Thursday night instead of a Friday, Fridays and Saturdays, like you guys are used to, or is, you know, COVID gotten to the point where it's you can't even tell what day it is?
Yes, that was a bit odd. I would say it wasn't weird on Thursday or Friday, but what made it weird was having a Saturday and Sunday off after having two games played.
Yeah.
I would say that was more weird.
Yeah, what is the atmosphere on campus like now? Myself and, you know, a bunch of people went back home when Thanksgiving break started. I bet campus kind of just feels like dead now, does it?
Yeah, it's definitely kind of like a ghost town, I would say.
Well, no fans were in the stands at any point in both men's and women's hockey. What was that like overall on an impact-wise basis?
Kind of like I said earlier, for me personally, I'm not really affected by fans who was in the stands, so I guess it wasn't too much of a changer for me with on the ice.
All right, moving on to your kind of just your career in general. What is, you know, this year's been crazy for you. You went from playing in Wisconsin at the beginning of the year to transferring, then scoring that buzzer beater goal in front of your former team, and then being sent home for quarantine with everyone else, and then now you're playing for RMU in a non-traditional setting. What has this year been like for you?
Crazy is probably the right word.
Yeah.
Changes that sometimes you don't really know how to prepare for. So I would say that I have learned a lot in the past year.
Well, how much has the RMU community made you feel like welcome here? Not only the fact that you transferred over from a different school, but also, you know, with everything going on, making you be able to feel like you're part of the community.
Yeah, it's been awesome. The people in this area are great and very welcoming. I definitely felt at home right when I got here, so I think that's a huge bonus and just awesome to be able to have when I came.
All right, we got to talk about that game real quick. For those listening that needs context, RMU was hosting the Battle of the Berg tournament last January, which is almost a year ago now, which is crazy. They were playing Colgate. They were tied 5-5 in the third period. Kylie was playing. What game was that for you? Was it your first or your second game with RMU?
I wasn't a huge participant in the first game that we played against my own team, so it was technically my second game.
Okay.
It was basically my second game.
Okay. Yeah, last minute, 6 seconds left, you do this reverse spinorama goal and then win it 6-5 against Colgate. And then not only did you win the game, but your former team of Wisconsin was watching in the stands because they were part of that tournament as well. What was that moment like for you, and how incredible was it that the stars kind of aligned in that moment?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that you kind of think about and you're like, oh, that's kind of funny that it happened that way. But it was definitely a special moment and something I'm never going to forget. Definitely one of those highlights that I'll always remember for sure.
All right. Well, hopefully you can have more of those moments, and hopefully you didn't peak then. But let's move on to line combinations. Anyone that knows me, I'm a huge stickler for line combinations. Back in our episode with Michaela Boyle, I tried to guess the lines for this upcoming season, and I want to compare what my guesses were to the actual lines that you guys rolled with this, weekend, even though Thursday, I don't know. My picks were Hanslick, Templeman, and Boyle on the first line, Burbage, Fiala, Wagner on the second, Markovsky, Diffendahl, and Marino on the third, and then Padone and Krasowski on the fourth, with then Curlett and Fairman, Hebert and Harley, Rice and Thompson, and then Kirk and DeSmit and Nett. The actual lines you guys ruled with Boyle, Templeman, and Burbage, Wagner, Fiala, and Hanslick, Markovsky, Marino, Diffendahl, Krasowski, and Padone, and then Curlett, Fairman, Harley, Hebert, Thompson, and Rice, and then Kirk and DeSmit splitting games. What are your thoughts overall on how this team is structured overall in line combinations, and how have you been fitting in with Fiala and Wagner?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have, the coaches are definitely trying to take a tactic where as they're trying to make each line very strong to keep our legs going throughout the whole game and our lungs, etc. So I think that's kind of the approach that we're going with. I think the combinations are really awesome. Everybody's clicking with who they're with. And I would say for me and my line, I think it's awesome. We're clicking really well. We're starting to figure things out. We're doing a great job in practice, but games are always a little bit different with connecting, with your adrenaline higher, et cetera. But I think we're really starting to get the hang of it, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, has it been harder or easier, I guess, to gain experience with, less practices and ice time because of everything that's going on? You said you guys were meshing well in practices.
Yeah, I think things are just clicking, and I mean, we're kind of just dealing with what we've got and making the most of it, I would say.
Well, I feel as if the sophomores on this team are really going to make or break the success of the team. I mean, you got Fiala, Wagner, Burbage, Fairman, and Reagan Kirk. Do you agree with that statement? And what have you seen from the sophomores this year?
I think they bring a lot to this team. They're definitely a huge factor with our team and how we do in games and such. So I think they're great people to rely on in games too.
Now, how has the team been bonding over the past few months? You guys aren't allowed to go out as much as you normally would, or very restricted in those type of things. What have you guys been doing in terms of like team bonding? Because that's a big part in terms of chemistry.
A little bit of time together on the weekends and such. A big thing that we try to focus on is recovery right now, just because we've been having some pretty long and hard practices lately. But we do little things like over Thanksgiving, we did a virtual cooking contest, so we had like groups. We're trying to be pretty cautious because the negatives and positives for tests, we're trying to keep to an extent separation between a little bit of that stuff. But we definitely do like little things to try and get together outside of the rink and do some team bonding.
Is it you got any good stories? Off ice stories?
Won the cooking contest,
Oh
so that's
yeah?
a good story.
What did you guys cook?
We made some chicken with rice, and we stuffed it with, I believe it was cheese and ham.
Who was on your team?
Wason G, Anna, Allie, I believe. I'm kind of struggling to remember. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm not quizzing you or anything. All right. Well, moving on, I want to start a new segment on the podcast outside of, reviewing games and talking about the CHA standings and everything. I want to start a new segment called Just Five Random Questions. I'm going to ask you five questions, completely random, and you'll answer them as fast as you can, and then we'll talk about it at the end. Kind of just, to get the players or get the chance to know the players best. So let me know when you're ready.
Okay,
All right.
whenever.
Ready? Favorite Thanksgiving food? If you could change your name, what would it be? Friends or The Office? Good answer. What is something you want for Christmas? And then if who would play you and if they made a movie about your life? I don't know who that is. All right. Mashed potatoes. All right, good choice. I feel like a bunch of people our age are obsessed with The Office, and I really don't get it.
I don't understand it either. I honestly haven't watched much of it.
I only watched the first two seasons and I couldn't get past it. For I've seen every episode of Friends that there is. Yeah, what's Lulu? Or what?
That's just an apparel company.
I gotcha. All right, well, yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking about starting that thing just get to know the players that come on this podcast a little bit better. But before we go, let's talk about, this is a men's and women's hockey podcast, so we got to recap the five or seven games that men's hockey has been in. Up first, November 21st and 22nd was a sweep over Alabama Huntsville, a 5-2 win. a 5-2 win and a 4-3 win, both at home. Jordan Timmons had 2 goals in the first game, 5 goals in the third period, and a comeback there. They led in shots 43-13. Game 2, a 4-3 win. Randy Hernandez scores his first collegiate goal. He's been tearing it up so far. Overall, with men's hockey, they were able to start a little bit earlier. They've been able to play, you know, a significant amount of games compared to you guys. Is there any sort of jealousy towards the team as, you know, they have, you guys have to play a small burst of 4 games against the same team and then go on break, whereas men's hockey gets to play a bunch of games against different opponents? Not so to say jealousy, but is there any sort of comparisons that you guys make towards them?
I'm so excited about just having a season in general that I don't really care too much about other factors that maybe other people are getting over us, et cetera. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think there's any jealousy.
Well, anyways, moving on for men's hockey, they also were able to play a game against Bowling Green, a single game after a series against Canisius. A loss and a win in that series, and then the Canisius game, a non-conference game. Number 18, Bowling Green. Randy Hernandez scored again. RMU went 0-8 on the power play in that game, though. Women's hockey, they'll not be playing non-conference games in this season. The schedule, unlike, you know, men's hockey is, and, you know, how the schedule would be in a normal season. How much of a disappointment is that in not being able to, you know, test your skills against other teams that aren't in your division and just having to stick with CHA?
Yeah, I think it's always a good opportunity to be able to cross over leagues like that. But definitely understanding the circumstances and seeing why we can't really do those tests this year, I understand why. It's disappointing, but still just making the most out of what we get to do this year and that we even have a season is pretty awesome.
And then last up for men's hockey was a series against Air Force where they were able to sweep them. Noah West won his first collegiate game in the first game, and then Matthew Guerrero scored his first collegiate goal. And then a natural hat trick from Jordan Timmons was able to pave the way for an RMU 4-2 win in the second game. Now, men's hockey was able to travel, and you guys are preparing to travel to Lindenwood as well. What kind of protocols are being set in place for travel, and is there any sort of, you know, nerves going into that whole process?
It seems like most of it's fairly similar to how we traveled last year. There are some accommodations to be made with things like team meals and how often we're going to be allowed to leave the room or hotel kind of group or something like that. But I would say there's not really any nerves. I'm just excited to play again and get some more games in because who knows after winter break what will happen.
Yeah, agreed. And up next for men's hockey, they play Niagara December 11th and 12th in a home-and-home meeting starting at the Clearview Arena at home at 7:05 and on December 11th. Then they go on Christmas break after their December 12th matchup on the road. And then for you guys, of course, Lindenwood December 10th and 11th at Lindenwood starting 8:05 on Thursday night. Well, we wish you luck for the upcoming series, not only with, you know, that and winter break. Sports are now finally back in session, so I'm sure, you know, not only the athletes but everyone is around campus is happy for that to be back. Thank you for joining us, Kylie.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, this we'll be back hopefully next week. And yeah, RMU Century Media, RMU Colonial Sports Network, thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next week.